Please stand by. Good day, and welcome to the Texas Support for Dreamers press call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Jason Tamaa with the National Immigration Forum. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the National Immigration Forum press call on support from Texas leaders for Dreamers. We know that in September, the Trump administration announced an end by December 5th of 2018 to the program known as DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. DACA protected about 800,000 individuals who came to the United States at a young age, and it protected them from deportation and provided them with a work permit. And in many cases, this allowed them to support their families. The end of DACA means that a significant number of young people are already at risk of deportation, and that number will jump sharply early in the new year unless Congress passes a permanent legislative solution that addresses Dreamers in a constructive and compassionate way. So this morning, we are very fortunate to have with us on this call Chief Art Acevedo from Houston, Liz Cedillo Pereira, Director of the Dallas Office of Welcoming Communities and Immigrant Affairs, and Tim Moore, the senior pastor of Walkworthy Baptist Church in Austin. With that, I will turn it over to our first speaker, Chief Art Acevedo. Please go ahead, Chief.
Good morning, everyone.
Please stand by. And Chief Acevedo has disconnected. I will let you know when he rejoins.
It seems like we're having some difficulties with Chief Acevedo's line. So I think what we'll do instead is we will go on to our next speaker. So go ahead, Liz.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. This is Liz Cedillo Pereira. Thank you for introducing me, Jacinta. And we would just like to say that this is a priority issue for us. The Dreamers are our students, our teachers, doctors, service providers, innovators, engineers, and so much more here in our community. And we know that the U.S. is the only country that most of them know and that they call home. Ending DACA without Congress passing a permanent legislative solution means that hundreds of thousands of them will lose employment authorization, something that helps American workers and businesses and allows Dreamers to legally support themselves and their families. Dreamers make important contributions to our community in Dallas and beyond, to our state and to the United States. They are economic multipliers. With DACA, Dreamers have been able to move into higher skilled jobs and participate in the formal economy, improving their earnings. American workers and businesses depend on Dreamers and would face major upheaval if all of a sudden Dreamers can no longer work. We know that DACA has been transformational for members of our community in Dallas. Dreamers' work permits have enabled them to work hard, purchase cars, homes, and other goods and services that fuel our local economy and grow the tax base. They pay billions of dollars in federal, state, and local taxes around the country. They are also students and workers who in many cases are also breadwinners for their families. They're members of our communities and our churches, synagogues, mosques. Legislation protects these young people from deportation, serves the interest of American communities and families, and such legislation could pave the way for fixing other aspects of our immigration policies, including proposals to secure borders, reform visa programs, and give other law-abiding immigrants pathways to legalization. Why right now and not yet next year? We know that fully implementing a solution will take, by most estimates, at least several months, 7 months. Every day that passes without a solution really fails hundreds of thousands of hardworking young people, their families, and American workers and their families and the communities to which they belong. So thank you for your interest in this high priority issue for us.
Hey, and I'm back, by the way. I don't know what happened.
Hello. I think, is that Chief Acevedo?
I'm back.
I think we had a problem. So glad you could rejoin us. We just heard from Liz Cedillo Pereira, and really appreciate your comments, Liz. And so now I will turn it back over to you, Chief.
Hi, sorry. Don't blame the operator. That was definitely user error. You know, I'm starting to show my age every day. But hey, did I get anything out before this thing crashed?
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes.
Goodbye. Well, anyway, all right. I'm Art Acevedo, the police chief in Houston and the first vice president of the Major City Chiefs Association. I'm coming to you again today with 32 years of law enforcement experience working extensively in diverse communities and now in the city of Houston, which is the most diverse city in the United States and the most diverse nation on earth, to really call once again for the president and for Congress to do their job and actually not only take care of DACA, who these young people, but for their nation of birth, are American through and through. They're American in their words and their deeds and their thoughts and their values, and most importantly, in their love for this country. And they're a tremendous asset. These folks are folks that have been vetted. They've gone through extensive backgrounds. They've demonstrated throughout their lives to be responsible members of society and an asset to this society. And today, more than ever, it is critical that we enact legislation to keep these young people out of the shadows, in the light, so they can fully participate in the American dream, so they can fully contribute to the American economy, and they can fully contribute to the safety and security of the American people. Our fear in law enforcement is that if we don't keep them legitimized, these young people are going to be forced back into the shadows out of fear for deportation. I want folks to imagine what it would be like for a young person who came to this country at a young age and who has grown up in America, around Americans, and to be American, has been raised to be American. There would be no greater fear than all of a sudden find yourself in a foreign land where you may not know anyone, and quite frankly, a lot of the dreamers don't even know their native language of the nation that they may have been born in. I think that from a Judeo-Christian standpoint, it would be absolutely sacrilegious to not keep these people in this country. The other thing that I think is really important for us from a economic standpoint, we're here in the city of Houston where Hurricane Harvey had devastated, knocked us down, battered us. 550 members of the Houston Police Department and their families had their homes that were flooded. And here we are approaching Christmas and the new year, and we still have thousands of our fellow Houstonians, not only individual residents but also businesses, whose rebuilding efforts have been stalled, delayed, and become more expensive because of a shortage of labor. You take that to the national level in terms of our birth rate, that we know that the birth rate in this country, when you include immigrants, both documented and undocumented, is still below where we need to be to really sustain this nation moving forward. I think when you put all those facts together, it's really important that Congress takes action to bring keep these dreamers in the light and not in the shadows. I have personally worked with dreamers as a police chief in Austin, Texas. One of the first things I did was reestablish youth programs that a previous chief had gotten rid of, the Explorer program and the Police Activities League program. One of my very first Explorers was a young man that his name is Christian, and I will not use his last name just out of respect for his for his privacy. But Christian was a young man I met at a high school as a freshman. I got to see this kid be one of my first explorers. I got to witness this kid who again, was as American as the most blue-blooded American that you can find, with blonde hair and blue eyes. He just happened to be Hispanic. I got to witness him go through high school, graduate high school, number two in his class. I'll never forget when this young man came into my office after he graduated from high school with tears in his eyes. And I said, "What's wrong, Christian?" He says, "Chief, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm undocumented. And my dream is to be a police officer, but unfortunately, I don't know how I can get my citizenship. There's just, and you have to be a citizen in Texas to be a police officer." Now, I remember telling Christian that sooner or later, Congress is going to do the right thing, and they're going to do the moral thing, and they're going to do the smart thing, and they're going to enact comprehensive immigration reform that's long overdue. So I encouraged him just to go to college. Well, Christian ended up going to the University of Texas at Austin, graduated with honors with a mathematics degree, and today he teaches physics for a school district in Central Texas. So I would just ask the members of Congress to think of the Christians of the world that have shown through their hard work, through the intellect, and through demonstrated by their passing of backgrounds, to be worthy members of this society. And I would hope that Congress would enact comprehensive immigration reform so we can keep these people working, productive, and most importantly, helping move this country into the future. And I look forward to the discussion and to answering specific questions.
Thank you so much, Chief, for those words. And now let me turn to our third and final speaker, Tim Moore. Go ahead, Tim.
Jacinta, I want to say thank you. And Liz, it's good to hear your voice today. And Chief, good to join you again. Jacinta, thank you and the National Immigration Forum for the opportunity to speak on this vital national issue concerning our Dreamers and DACA in particular. Dreamers are members of the greater Austin community. They're members of my church, and I have grown to know them by name, know their family history and issues, and I now know that what happens to their lives not only affects me and the Austin greater community, but in the net effect of this issue, it affects every American's lives. In our evangelical churches, immigrants are the largest growth of the evangelical churches in America. And as a Southern Baptist pastor, I know well that our Southern Baptist Convention has no greater requests or more numerous demands than our Hispanic and Latino communities, which have the greatest need for church plants, for building new churches and expansion of existing churches. Chief, you probably know better than I do in your tenure in Austin, but I think there's over 150 foreign languages spoken in Williamson and Travis County, where I live. And I believe that churches, the evangelical church particularly, ought to be the cultural ambassador on this issue. And as evangelicals, we should determine to be a forceful part of the solution of this story nationally. The Dreamers are leaders in our churches. They are contributing to the high growth of our children's programs. And incidentally, those children are, by and large, American citizens. They are good givers, and they are responsible families. I've noticed of late when the Labor Department mentioned that the workforce in the United States was down to about 4.1 unemployment rate. I agree that that is an accurate number. I also agree that that would represent full employment. But it would be short-sighted of us not to remember that that includes about 650,000 DACA recipients that contribute billions of dollars to the economy every year. And those DACA recipients, they are a great potential in America. And that potential for this country to be better is vast. But their paths become very, very narrow if Congress does not provide a year-end or at a minimal a first-of-year fix. And it would be a tragedy to force them to return to the shadows or to make a decision to round them up for deportation, because that would force those 750,000 lives to become what I believe would be the needless casualties of America's great failure to achieve a fix or a common sense immigration reform. Dreamers do make America great, and they're giving back to their communities, to their houses of faith. They're helping to drive the economic growth in the country. And, Chief, I don't understand all of the in and outs of culpability, but in my estimation, it would be unconscionable to hold these kids accountable for the actions of their parents or other adults who made decisions for them in their lives. These young people stepped forward, and they stepped forward in good faith when their government asked them to. And I believe them to be anything but threats to America. We respectfully, in our united voices, urge Congress to seize the moment and to pass a permanent legislative fix to protect the Dreamers and to help them to remain in this country permanently. For those who are of the faith, I would gently remind the nation that it was Jesus Christ himself who presented the criteria for separating the sheep from the goats at the end of the age. And that criteria, in his words, is tied to how we treat the most vulnerable and the least among us. So lastly, we want the larger Christian community in the United States to know that people whom they would consider brothers and sisters in Christ are directly affected by the policy decisions of this administration and Congress around the Dreamer issues. And we are asking the faith community for their prayers and for a firm nudge for Congress to provide a year-end solution to this pressing issue. My personal prayer is to ask those in my community and those around the country, those who are in opposition to a DACA fix, that we all should reform our hearts towards those who are different from us and who come from different places from around the world. And my prayer would be that we would all be guided by the teaching of the Word of God rather than our divisive politics of the day. And lastly, I would simply say that those of us who have experienced this great, wonderful gift, love always costs you dearly. And love is capable of breaking your heart. But in the end, I believe it is love that will save the world. And I know that immigrants and people who come from desperate circumstances around the globe, they will continue to come. So the only question is, what are we going to do to help them? Jacinta, thank you for an opportunity to make a few comments.
Thank you so much, Pastor Moore. And with that, we will now open the lines for questions. Operator, could you let the callers know how to signal if they have a question?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, you can press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And we ask that you please limit yourself to one question and re-queue for any follow-up questions. Again, that is star 1 at this time. We'll go first to Al Ortiz, Houston Public Media, NPR.
Hello, this is a question for Chief Acevedo. Chief, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you? Happy holidays, man.
Same to you, sir. Thanks for your time. You kind of touched on it when you made your initial statement, but can you please elaborate, based on your vast experience, from a law enforcement standpoint, why would it be beneficial for Houston for the DREAM Act to be passed by Congress, ideally before the end of the year, actually? But regardless of the timeline, why would it be, again, beneficial for our city from law enforcement standpoint?
Well, it's not just our city. It's all cities where the number one reason we've enforced, we even started forming governments at any level, is for the safety of the commune, i.e. the safety of the community. And the number one force multiplier for law enforcement agencies is not technology, but the people that we serve, the people that we are sworn to keep safe. And the sooner that we can reassure these dreamers that they are, A, welcome, and, B, legitimate in terms of complete legitimate members of society, the quicker we can ensure that they will not go into the shadows and hide from fears of deportation. You have to remember that it's not just that this is happening at a time in our nation's history where the rhetoric, the political rhetoric surrounding immigration is absolutely mean-spirited, where we have officials at the federal level talking about when they go looking for gang members, if they find other individuals in a residence that, but for their immigration status, are not a problem to society, that they're actually responsible members of society. But if they're undocumented, they're making statements that those people are going to be picked up and subjected to potential deportation hearings. It is a time where the fear of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dreamers is at a fever pitch. And quite frankly, based on the policy discussions at the federal level and even the state of Texas at the state level with the so-called anti-sanctuary cities bill, the fear is palatable. And I believe that failure to act will force these young people into the shadows. And what really worries me, if we take away their ability to work and to continue their education, we're going to take people that have proven to be worthy of the American dream and potentially put them in a situation that is unattainable in terms of their ability to earn a living and get an education. And I'll tell you right now, there are plenty of street gangs, plenty of drug trafficking organizations, and plenty of people that would love to co-opt these young people and say, you know what, the American dream is not for you. They don't want you. But here, come join our family. Because when people are maligned and they're vilified and they're made to feel that they're being ostracized by society, there's a potential for some of these people to be succumb to a radicalization process. So on all levels, on a humanitarian level, on a Judeo-Christian value level, on an economic level, on a national security level, on all levels, if we're truly interested in good public policy, we need to enact comprehensive immigration reform. Would be ideal, but at least deal with the dreamers as soon as possible. And the last thing I want to add, Pastor, is that the book of Exodus is also instructive in that if you read the book of Exodus in the Bible, the very first immigrants in the history of humanity were delivered from the throes of the Pharaoh by God himself. And so, you know, you can't plan to be a Christian and then have this really non-Christian position as it relates to these young people.
Thank you. Operator, can we go to the next question?
Again, that is *1 for questions, and please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, *1 for questions. We'll pause momentarily.
We're all muted. Not going to be any other questions.
While we wait, for people to get in the queue, a question to Liz. What has been the response of the community in Dallas to Dreamers, and what kind of response have you seen from people that you've talked to in the business community, especially about the rescission of DACA and how they're feeling about getting a solution for this problem?
Well, thank you, Jacinta. I think it's a case of, the case of Dreamers particularly, it hits close to home here in Dallas. And we know that we have the third largest number of DACA recipients with active DACA status at about 36,700 active recipients, behind only Los Angeles and New York. And we know that they are contributing, as stated previously. They're helping our economy grow. When you become a teacher, when you become an engineer, a nurse, own your own business, when you're a therapist, that's a major contribution. The Dallas Morning News recently reported that DACA recipients have been part of the solution in addressing the shortage of teachers, particularly needed in the bilingual education. So professionals from all sectors are, I think, coalescing behind this issue as it has become so apparent that the need for congressional action is so needed. It's not like this happened overnight. Congress has been debating the issue of Dreamers since 2001, but we're at a crucible moment where we need them to act like no other time. When their lives are on the line, all of our lives are on the line because they have such an incredible economic, cultural, socioeconomic benefit to our communities.
Wonderful. Thank you. Operator, are there any questions?
Yes, we'll go next to Lomi Creel with the Houston Chronicle.
Hi, thanks for having me. Chief Acevedo, I wonder if you can talk about, you mentioned earlier in the year in April that the number of Hispanics reporting sexual assault had gone down by something like 40% in the first few months of the year. Now that we're at the end of the year and we've seen, you know, obviously the passage of SB4 and other, you know, sort of the ongoing attention about the topic of immigration, are there any more signs in that sense of crime reporting that you can talk about that shows whether or not that trend has continued or kind of how the immigrant community has reacted when it comes to dealings with police officers?
Yeah, thank you for that question. First, it was a 42.8% reduction to the 3 months of 2017 when compared to the first 3 months of 2016 as it relates to the reporting of sexual assaults by individuals with from the Hispanic community. Yet, when we looked at the rest of our community, the reporting of sexual assaults had gone up. And we saw a similar impact for Part 1 violent crimes, but not as large as sexual assaults. I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but I can tell you in talking to my officers, especially on the east side, which is predominantly Hispanic immigrant community, we've got plenty of instances where there continues to be fear to report crime because they're afraid that even though I'm a permanent resident, lawful resident, or I'm a natural-born citizen, I've got a family member that's living with me that's undocumented, so we don't want to bring any attention. So what we've been doing is we've actually been working diligently with our bilingual officers to put on education for our immigrant community. You've got a bilingual chief and myself, who happens to be an immigrant himself, and was very clear on our position as a law enforcement agency. You know, we kind of coined the phrase, the Houston Police Department, we chase crooks, not cooks, to show these our community, try to regain their trust. And so I can tell you there's still mistrust out there, but the Alianza program that we put together on the east side is really having some some significant inroads. So we'll try to look at the data here in the next few weeks, the next week or two, and report back if that's having the impact, the positive impact we were hopeful for. And the other thing I want to mention, I'm going to tweet this out in a minute, is that we've seen what this bad policy does economically and across the board. And there's already a film out there that came out about 5 years ago. It's 9500 Liberty. You can actually watch it online. It's posted on YouTube, and it's entitled to a 119-minute documentary that actually I think is really a case study of what bad immigration policy, what impact it has on families, on the economy, and on public safety. And so I would challenge people to look at that video, then really reassess what their views are on immigration policy.
Great. So, operator, are there any additional questions?
We have no further questions at this time.
Okay, great. So I think with that, then, we will close out this call. Just as a reminder, this call has been recorded, and we will send around the link. So if you want to listen to it again later, you can do that. Thank you very much to all of our speakers, Chief Acevedo, Liz Padilla Pereira, and Pastor Tim Moore. Really appreciate your joining the call today. And thank you, everyone else, for joining.
That concludes our conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.